Welcome, people of Epcot. Epcotters. Epcotians. Citizens of Epcot. Does anyone know what they call themselves? Oh wait, that's right. Main Street Mekkies. Welcome back, everyone.
I was wondering if you were going to say alcoholics. And
nope, because I was a good very... person. Because I belong on this earth. Welcome back, everyone, to Main Street Mekkies, the show where two real-life engineers and hopeful Imagineers talk about everything Disney. I'm desperate for Disney details, Noah.
And I'm singing those Disney blues. It's Alex.
And it's a trip recap episode, y'all. It's gonna be a fun one. Alex is back from his almost, I think you could say, weeks-long trip. I don't think you hit 14 technically.
Not technically.
Okay, but more than one.
If you count the last day of work and like the day we not left, but like went and stayed up in Portland to be by the airport, then and the day we arrived back home, then yes, it is 14. But
weeks long trip on a technicality. we're gonna get into that, but before we do, it's plug time. First up. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you thought of the episodes. Ask any questions. We love seeing y'all interact with the show. And we really love hearing what you think of the voices that we end up making each other do. Or you could request that we don't do that for your review. It's up to you. Dealer's choice. Pick your poison. you can also check us out on Instagram at Main Street Mekkies for some Disney news content, some general just Disney nerd memes and fun things going on in the Disney space right now. We've said this for the last like 5 episodes, I think, but boy, is it a good time to be someone who enjoys theme park news. It really is. There's a lot going on.
The banquet is plenty and we are eating, folks. We are eating so, well.
So come in and know us better, man, because there's plenty to go around. You can also, if you want to support the show, go to redbubble.com and look up Main Street Mekkies for some stickers and shirts and hats with our logo and some other designs based off of previous episodes, attractions we've designed, mouse gears, and just general Disney nerddom content. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the last thing we'll mention in this episode. If you've got a trip coming up, or you'd like to go on a trip, then you're going to want to reach out to Alex to have a good time. Tell him why.
Yes, and there's actually a different one with this because I launched everything else along with it.
Yeah. So
I am a Disney travel agent, and usually I have you message us at Main Street Mekkies or Main Street Mekkies as Gmail to get that started. But recently I decided to separate those two into what has become Mekkies Travel. If you are looking for wanting to book a Disney trip, whether it's Disney Cruise Line, Disney, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, international Disney parks, then you can send an email at mekkiestravel@gmail.com, and that's mekkiestravel@gmail.com, or you can go to mekkiestravel.squarespace.com. Yes. Which is the website, and you can fill out a request there. It's real simple to use. Some friends and family have used it, and it's worked out great so far. You can send a request that goes directly to me. I'll get your contact information, then we can start setting up a great trip. And the only other thing is if you'd rather contact through social media or you just want to follow the account so you can get news on new stuff with Disney, new travel deals, anything like that, Mekkies Travel on Instagram is that handle too. And so that will be all the travel agent stuff so that Main Street Mekkies stays just Main Street Mekkies. And it'll just get plugged every episode, essentially.
Nice. I'm looking at the website right now and it's beautiful.
Okay, so that was the right website.
That is the correct URL, okay. mekkiestravel.squarespace.com.
We're not sponsored by, but thing for Squarespace. It was really easy to use and really good. So if they would like to sponsor us,
that'd be great.
I've used it and I'm very happy with you. So yeah. I would tout your praises for money.
just a plug because it's a good product. You love to see it.
Just a plug because it's a good product. And then we can actually, we can tease the other thing, I think.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so probably next week, that's the goal at least, we're going to be launching something that we're both pretty excited about. We're going to be launching a Patreon. And usually with podcast Patreons, like kind of what you do is you give out new episodes or add free episodes or anything like that. For those who aren't familiar, Patreon's a subscription service, or like a fan based subscription service kind of deal where you support, your favorite creators and they give you either bonus content or specific content to their interests or stuff like that. We're going to be doing a little different one compared to other podcasts I know of. We are going to be doing bonus content. So the plan is once a month, either Noah, myself, or both will be recording a bonus episode that will be on a topic we enjoy, whether it's Disney or if people are interested, maybe some non-Disney related stuff. And that will only be available on the Patreon. So kind of more personal individual thoughts and individual quote-unquote conversations with us. The other huge benefit of it is we'll be able to see that directly and really easily. And so posting discussion boards and stuff like that can be a great spot for good conversation just within the community. And then, but the big, kind of big kahunas that's going to come with it is we are going to be modeling either Disney accessories, Disney decorations, kind of the things we come up with and model for ourselves that some people have shown interest in. We are going to be putting those files up there so that the Patreons can get them. And if they had interest in a 3D printer or 3D printing, they could then 3D print those things themselves. You need a soundboard. Oh, it's a remix.
I just found out it was a remix. I just picked the first track I found on Spotify. But anyway.
But so for the first month, that will be the Universal Mickey ears that I designed for my trip. Those will be getting put on there.
Not Universal Studios, to clarify.
Not Universal Studios. No.
Universally can be used on any baseball cap. Yeah.
Really simple. You don't need to modify the hat at all. I modified mine. I glued the magnets down, but my dad didn't, and it worked great for his.
Nice.
So that will be going on there. That's kind of the version one of that. Any improvements on it will also be getting uploaded there. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing we're really excited about to upload there is 3D modeled files that will be modeled by Noah and I of things around the U.S. parks. And so I have a bunch of pictures on my phone of things I actually went and put something of reference in front for scale and am going to be modeling. So whether it's signs outside stores, pieces of decoration in the ride queues, things in our hotel rooms, like stuff like that, little pieces of Disney that you could print out, paint or not paint, whatever you want to do. But then have yourself, so like a little replica of something that typically Disney never does a replica of.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be the big thing that will be on there. So it'll be like one model a month, whether it's a replica thing or an accessory thing or a gadget or whatever we've come up with for that month. And so, yeah, that'll be coming really soon. Keep updated. Biggest way to do that is just follow us on Instagram. And that's where those updates will be coming from.
Nice. Big stuff coming. Fun stuff. All right,
big stuff. Big fun stuff. But we got something else first. Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot of something else first.
Yeah, so... Okay. So this is going to be maybe a little shorter than most trip recaps that I've done. I tend to talk a lot, but... Noah is going on, by the way, before we get too far into it and forget, Noah got married. So Woo! Huge congrats to him. Him and his beautiful wife. And they are going to be going on their honeymoon like next week as we're recording this. And so we are like back to back with Disney trips, which means we're going to try to do my trip recap in one episode. It'll probably be a little long, but I'm going to get one and done. That way when Noah gets back, we can do his trip recap. and not have to rush through both or not have to be like 3 weeks in between trip recaps and all that kind of stuff, because there will be just a solo episode next week, probably talking about the Patreon.
Yeah, I think we'll have a good setup here, because I'm guessing for my trip recap, since a lot of your stuff will still be so fresh, it'll just be us discussing the various things and it'll be more collaborative. And this one is just to kind of, you know, get an overview of your trip, your thoughts on the parks, what your Run Disney experience. And then when when I'm back in a couple weeks, we'll kind of dig into the details and discuss some of our finer opinions about what's going on in the parks right now.
Yeah, and it's so many good things going on
in
the
parks. It's so right much now. Good stuff. Oh yeah. Yeah.
So for mine, what we're gonna do, we're not gonna go day by day, because there was a lot of days. We're gonna do an overview, like just kind of where we stayed, how long we were there, the big ticket things that we got to do there. We're gonna do talk about the resort, because we stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge. I've never stayed there before. We're going to talk about Run Disney, and then we're going to just kind of go park by park and just talk about the different things there. I don't have a huge structure for this, so we will just see where it goes.
Nice.
Do you want me to just go into it, or?
Let's just get into it. Yeah.
All right. Well, so overview. So we were there from the 17th to the 29th. And so that
accounts
to 13 days, 12 nights, I believe.
Man.
And as far as when we went into the parks, we went into the parks 12 times. So we did. We originally were only going to go 10, and then people just went, let's go in. And so we ended up going in every single day that we planned or that we were there. Mm-hmm. And so the whole like rest day and all that kind of stuff just didn't happen. We just took things slower, which actually ended up working really well.
Yeah.
Quick, in case he ever listens to these when he gets older, my son is one of the, I am so impressed with how he travels right now.
Honestly,
I cannot believe how lucky we are.
Nice.
He went through 2 plane flights with 0 tantrums, and they had a total flight time of 12 hours, not counting the day we flew out. Alaska had an entire nationwide system outage.
I forgot about that. That was on the news.
Sat on the tarmac for 2 hours.
Extra flight time minus the flight. Nice.
We were there. They ended up making it from Portland to Orlando in like 4 hours and 45 minutes, which is an insane time. We were there for 2 hours on the tarmac. We were only 40 minutes late from our original arrival time. They allowed them. We were going so fast. I looked out the window and we were zipping.
Been holding back on these regular flights this whole time?
I have a feeling it's because of how many planes weren't in the air that they were allowed to just go free.
Roads are clear. Let's floor it.
Pretty much. And they apparently they will do that sometimes, of like pull off on the speed limitations
that they put on the pilots
to allow them to catch back up. Because if they don't, then it's they're out for like for a days. While.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So we ended up only getting in late, but they had a full system outage nationwide. And so if you heard about that, we were on one of those flights and it was terrible. But I mean, he played with his toys, he harassed grandma and grandpa, and
as is his right.
Yeah. he did fantastic on the flight there, fantastic on the flight back. And honestly, fantastic the whole trip. I was shocked. He had his moments, as every kid does, of just got too tired. And but it was hot. It was really hot there the entire trip. Epcot was blistering. Oof. But he hung in there and he stayed out. We'd get into the parks at 8 or 9 and he'd stay out till 8 or 9.
Nice.
Take a later nap and be ready to go and wake up happy as a clam, ready to get on a bus. So absolute trooper, and we are very lucky. So that out of the way, general trip. So we were there for 12 nights, 12 total days in the parks, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we were staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And so that was, it was myself, my brother. My brother was there for the first 5 days, mm-hmm. like first 6 days. My parents were there for the entire portion. And then myself, my wife, and my son. And that was the first time that anybody in my family had stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge. But Miranda, her family, they used to stay there a lot.
Okay.
And so she kind of got to go back to her quote-unquote home resort.
Nice.
And we got to experience a completely new one. And my God, that place is gorgeous.
It's so pretty.
It's so pretty. One of the big complaints I always hear about is that it's so far away.
Mm-hmm.
15-minute bus ride, 20-minute bus ride.
It's
far away because it's not walking distance, but it was super easy bus ride. Seeing the animals were really cool. We got our room. It was a resort view room, but when we looked out, we were right by an animal feeding area looking over the savannah. Like there was no, we weren't looking at a parking lot. We were looking at
the behind it. I saw you post about that and I was confused because are the designations they use resort view and like safari view or animal view?
So there's resort view, water view, and savanna view.
Okay. Okay.
Or safari view. It might be safari view, but.
But like rooms that face the animals.
Yeah. And they get more expensive as they get better views. And so you run the risk of like, my whole family got resort views. My brother and parents had a view of the hot tub, and like
a true the resort
municipal
view.
Areas. Yeah, they had those views, and then my parents actually ended up getting moved because they had some issues with their room, so they got moved, and then they actually got the opposite side of our view. So then they ended up getting this amazing view. And or not looking the other way, like they could see our room, like they were on the other side.
Oh, like of the kind of semicircle they were. Yeah. Y'all. Okay. Super cool.
Yeah. Nice. So they got to get that great view too, which is much better because they used their deck a lot more than we did. We were mm-hmm. either dead asleep or just booking it.
Yeah.
Because child.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we ended up getting this amazing view. We got to see the giraffes feed in the morning. And that's there was so these cool. two ostriches that apparently just like lived over there because they were over there all the time. And nice. Antelopes and just, it was so cool. So, wow. So cool. Just absolutely butchered the pronunciation of
very cool. Yeah.
Cool. And I'm trying to think if there's any other just like trip overviews. I kind of blended into the resort as well. I think the only other thing was we had annual passes, and this was I was talking to my dad about this. We might have gotten annual passes when I was a kid, just because it made sense. But I don't remember it. It's the first time I had ever been in control of it.
Yeah,
and. So first time navigating like the park reservation stuff with that. There was one time where I messed it up. I had booked us somewhere else and didn't realize I hadn't moved us again when we changed plans.
So
we had to like talk to guest services and they ended up working it out for us and moving us over and it was fine.
Nice. Nice.
And then I think the only other big thing was this was going to be myself, my brother and my parents' first run Disney race.
Yeah.
And for myself, my first race, period. I had never done a race before. And so I decided to start with a 10K. And I'll talk more about that later, but I ended up going well. I'm actually wearing the shirt from it.
Nice.
They give you a lot of free stuff with the, well, free.
You pay for
the ticket, but a lot more comes with that ticket than I expected.
That's good.
So just kind of, want to go back to the resort.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll kind of open up if you have any questions about Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Questions from the class. Excellent. Yeah.
I want to make sure I'm not the only one talking this entire time.
Yeah, you got the info on this one. Yeah. And it, just in time for your voice to be feeling a little raspy.
Oh yeah, I am getting off a cold. If anybody also listens to Emily and Clayton, make it magical. I believe everybody caught the same sickness, and it has been knocking us on our rear the past week and a half.
Oof.
If I cough or my voice is a little off, that's why.
Yeah.
So Amalkin Lodge, mm-hmm. like I said, absolutely gorgeous. The view when you walk in is like so slap in the face, like amazingly beautiful.
Yeah.
And just walking around the grounds, the one thing I thought there was going to be more of that there just wasn't. I thought there was going to be more walking trails, but it's kind of more like viewing areas.
Yeah.
And okay. So it's not like you don't get to like walk around the savannah kind of deal. Like, they have viewing areas outside of the lobby and like the pool and stuff like that you can go and see the animals. So not as much. And maybe there's a chance that there could have been more of what I was thinking at the other side. Because there's two sides to Animal Kingdom. There's Jumbo House and Kidani. And Kidani is like the DVC side, and Jumbo is the normal room side.
Yeah.
And you can walk between them, but you like walk through the parking lot. There's not like a safari trail to get you from one to the other.
Yeah. It's not themed or anything.
No. You walk outside, you walk parking lot over onto the road and kind of walk your way up. I think there's like a garden path, but my parents said it was just kind of like a foliage sidewalk kind of deal.
Oh, okay.
But we didn't end up going over there. My parents did to eat, but we pretty much just stayed in Jumbo House. But it has those viewing areas, and the animals, like, they're right there. Like, it is really cool how close you get to some of these animals and
that's so cool.
How close your room are to it. I mean, like we walk outside at like 8 a.m. and probably like 20-30 feet from us is a giraffe just eating out of the tree, like right below our room.
Crazy.
And it's like we could have tossed something in it and it would have hit him. Obviously not, we didn't.
Whoa,
that would be horrible. Whoa. But,
yeah.
But like, that's how close we were. And
that's so crazy.
I'm trying to pool was great. Nothing crazy in the pool. It's kind of normal pool. Like, it's not like Beach Club or anything like that, which is like a crazy amount of theming to it.
Yeah.
But really nice. And I think the other awesome thing about Animal Kingdom was the food there was fantastic. Like, the counter service.
Really?
They had the normal like pizza and hamburgers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But for lunch and dinner, they had like rice bowls and falafel and like a little bit more healthier options.
That's nice. And yeah,
it gave a really nice break, and they were fantastic too. Like, the rice was cooked really well. The chicken, I did shrimp bowl once, a chicken bowl, and both like the meat was cooked really good, and everything just tasted fresh and nice and not deep fried and gross.
Not I felt really good heavy after foods
eating it.
yeah
which is it's sometimes can be hard to find.
It's hard to do in Disney sometimes.
And so that was the Mara. And so every morning we'd like go get a little bit of something, and then we had a couple days that we spent at the resort to give Grayson a break. And then we went to the parks at night, and that we just eat there, and it was fantastic.
Awesome.
I think that's like just general overview. I stay there 1000% again.
I bet. Just like, I was pulling up the pictures I took of it to see if there was anything that I had questions about that I was like, why is this here? But it's just like, this is the resort I'm most excited for Molly to see when we go, because she hasn't seen it still. It's just so cool. Like, it's so pretty, and it's so unique compared to all the other resorts. Like, you can walk out in a little viewing area right behind the main lobby area. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, I bet it was amazing. And the fact that you got like resort view, but it was facing animals, and you were like, you know, so close to the giraffes in the morning. It's so crazy. That's super cool.
Yeah, it was. Are you guys doing like a resort hopper day?
On our first day, we're not going into the parks, and our only plan is to go to Hoop-Dee-Doo.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, so we're going to get to the... We're staying at the Dolphin. We're going to get there, I think, around like 4, and we have from 4 until 8:30 to kill time. So I think we're going to get some food and then go over to Animal Kingdom Lodge and check that out before we slowly make our way over to Wilderness Lodge and Hoop-Dee. But, oh... So, and it was like one of the few that she didn't see on our last trip. So we're definitely going to get over there and get a look at it.
It is gorgeous. I would recommend just hopping into Animal Kingdom just to chill out for a while. There's a ton of like kids activities that you could do. And like there was like a guy making wood statues and cool. A lot of like informational stuff. There's artifacts from different African tribes like all over the hotel. And out back there was an activity where kids were tracking animals by finding fake models of their poop
and
matching them to what animal it should be. There's a That's ton of awesome. Stuff. I have never seen a kid so excited to look at poop. Like he was having a blast out there.
I bet he was. That's awesome.
Yeah, so they have a ton of stuff for kids. Again, like pool wasn't anything crazy, but it was super nice. There was like outdoor activities like cornhole and a big Connect Four thing and a playground which got used by us often. Really nice playground.
Nice.
And so I think it was a great place for us as a family. My parents enjoyed it without like not having a kid with them, and my brother enjoyed it just hanging out. So it kind of hit every we had every demographic with us at that point. We had a solo goer, a couple, and a family, and we all absolutely adored it. So
nice, right in that sweet spot. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I would definitely. We didn't do a suite there, but I'm sure the suites and the huts are fantastic.
Oh, I bet they're amazing. Yeah.
I think that kind of wraps up resort. Should I move into Run Disney or the park?
Go for a little run. Let's hit Run Disney.
Okay. So Run Disney, for those who do not know, is a race event that Disney puts on, multiple of these that they put on every year, everywhere from a 5K all the way up to a marathon. And the big ticket item with these is that you get to run through the Disney parks when you do these races, which is something that is pretty much like only people who do these get to experience that. They're the only people that get to do it at the time that you do it, which I'll talk about that in a second. And overall, it's absolutely incredible experience. I recommend it to anybody that is... has even an inkling that they might enjoy that. I would recommend it, even if it's just to see the parks at that time. And so the one we did was it was called the Adventures Out There 10K. And so it was the medal and the shirt and stuff like that were all up themed.
That's awesome.
And we ran through Epcot and the boardwalk was our 10K route.
Nice.
It was perfect. It was exactly what we were wanting. I was partially hoping for Animal Kingdom, but I just don't think there's enough of a continuous loop that isn't parking lot to get. 5Ks will go through Animal Kingdom, but...
You'd have to do laps to get more than that, probably.
Yeah. And we did not do any laps. There was no, like, circle something multiple times. Like, we did a continuous 10K, which for those prescribed only to Freedom units is about 6.2 miles.
Yeah.
And so we had decided to do this. I did a decent amount of training. I made sure that I could run a 5K and not be in pain.
That's good. It's the last thing you want.
Minimum thing. So I was doing runs periodically, keeping about a 10-minute mile pace. And And so like right before we left, I ran a 5K at a 10-minute mile and did it, felt great. So, nice. So I was good. I would say that if you can run a 5K under the borderline minute per mile pace is 16 minutes. If you can run a 5K under that, if you can hit like the 13, 14, mm-hmm. you're good. Like you can run the 10K. You can definitely do the 5K. Mm-hmm. Your risk, if you cannot keep that pace, is there are these people called the balloon ladies, and the balloon ladies are volunteers. They're called the balloon ladies because they have balloons strapped to their waist. Mm-hmm. And if they reach you, they set the pace. They set the minimum pace.
Oh, they bring up the rear.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So the way that the Run Disney events work is you go in flights. And so you have a group and then they run through that group until that group is gone. They move to the next group. So it's mm-hmm. A, B, C. The balloon ladies run with group E. At least they did with ours. And so if you're in group C, there's no balloon ladies in group C. You just can't be slower than the 16-minute mile pace of group E.
Yeah.
So you have two full groups behind you.
Yeah.
and Disney typically, if you say you run a 16-minute mile, they do put you in group E.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say you run a 10 or like a 5-minute mile and you don't show proof of time, you have no idea where you're going to end up. Right. My parents put down the same mile time as me and my brother. And they got put in group A, which is for like people who run marathons and we're going to finish this thing like
runners with a capital R,
50 minutes, sub 40 minutes. Yeah. And they put them in group A and they put my brother and my brother has run a marathon, is running another marathon in September.
Yeah.
They put us in group C. So once you're outside of the extremes,
just wherever they need you. People. Yeah,
they just kind of throw you. But it is very, not very hard, but it is harder than I think people think to get pulled from these races. And, if you do get pulled, they bring a golf cart, they drive you towards the end of the race. And I believe they let you off to the side. So it's not like they don't make a big show out of it. And it's not a thing. Like, it's not a big deal. It's one of those things. It happens and it's no worries. And you still get your t-shirt, your medal, all that kind of stuff. You still get that.
Nice.
So that's just kind of like the precursor. If people are nervous about doing it, for a lot of people, it's their first race. For a lot of people, this isn't a bunch of like high seasoned runners.
Yeah.
These are amateur runners. Like that is the majority of the group. And high seasoned runners, if you're listening, be prepared to run slower than you normally do. and I'll talk about that in a second. But pretty much what the morning was, so we went to Magic Kingdom. We ate at Skipper Canteen and then at the counter service at Animal Kingdom. That was our two meals because we wanted to make sure we didn't eat super heavy. And so it's like Skipper Canteen has like bowls and all that kind of stuff. And so does the Mara, the counter service. And so we ate there, got our food. And then the next morning we had to be on a bus at 3 a.m. because the race started at 5.
Jeez.
And so they had buses taking, if you're staying on property, they have buses to get you from there. The day before we went and got our race bibs. And our t-shirts, which was really cool. They had like a whole expo and it was awesome.
Cool.
But so we got those the day before, and then the morning of our race, or 2 days before, but morning of our race, we were met up down in the lobby with our shirts and our bibs on and, got on a bus at 3:30 a.m. and drove down to the Epcot parking lot. mm-hmm. where I don't know if they did this just for the race or if it's just always on, but the ball was still on and they're like they were playing music and you could like take pictures out with it. Like you walk right by the entrance to Epcot, so you could take pictures in like right in front of the entrance to Epcot with Spaceship Earth right behind you.
That's awesome.
They had this whole event thing where they were talking to speakers and different people who were running for different causes, and there were food carts out there for anybody who was brave enough to do that. One of the food carts specifically was Pizza Cone, which was pizza in the shape of a cone. So you can just
one hand that
sucker and horf it down.
A right one hand sandwich for you right there. That's I don't know about that right before a run at 5 a.m.
I'll be honest, there's a moral obligation as Pizza Cone to not open before a 10K.
You owe it to the runners to not be there.
And I saw there were pizza cones ready to be sold.
Oh, I'm sure.
In the heater. And I did not end up getting a pizza cone. I did end up getting Wetzel's pretzels afterwards, but...
Afterwards.
No, yeah. I ate nothing beforehand. I ate a Luna bar, and that was the plan, and that worked out for me really well. And so if you want to be don't eat before that, everybody, please. Like eat light. Your body is not going to like starve for food.
Right.
Because you're running 6 miles. That's what your body's focused on. You don't want Pizza Cone into that equation. And I honestly can't believe that they opened.
It's an interesting move. I respect it. It's bold. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But so we get there, we drop off our stuff. They have a bunch of storage, and then essentially it's just waiting to go. And mm-hmm. I think I posted some stories of like how many people were there. An insane. There was 11,000 runners for the 10K.
Just for the 10K?
10K. And so the way that Run Disney works is they usually have three races going at a time, and then they have a challenge. And so the challenge is always run all of the races. And so they had a 5K, a 10K, and a 10 mile.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were 10K. We were the second day. So if you're running the challenge, you are waking up at 3 a.m. and going on a run for 3 days straight, with the run getting worse every day. But just for the 10K, there was 11,000 runners. I believe there was as much, if not more, for the 5K, about the same for the 10 mile. And so you're looking at about like 30,000, if not more, people filing through this Run Disney event.
Wow.
And so you think of how that works logistically, and essentially they funnel us all down a big human channel.
Yeah.
And there is people stopping you so that they can, like, I think they gauge it literally by the length of the crowd. They don't even count for the flight.
Yeah.
So like they get all the way through group B, we're group C. And they're literally just like essentially just watching until a group fills the area in front of them, and then they stop. And so then that group, they shoot off fireworks, and then you start your run, and then they move on to the next group. And so eventually we finally get up there. We start our run. They start out on like a 5-lane highway, and then they like every now and then just funnel you down into a 2-lane off ramp. The first 3 miles of the race were actually on the roads outside of Epcot.
Oh,
and then the last 3 miles was once we hit the park.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And so that kind of like is how it started out. And that's why I said, if you're a seasoned runner, be prepared to not run your pace.
It's crowds.
We probably bobbed and weaved at least a couple extra miles with how much we were like going back and forth and back and forth and trying to get around people. And it's just, there's so many people and they are all running at the same time, and there's just not enough space. And so you are like shoulder to shoulder with people for chunks of it. And you're trying to keep up a jog, but it ends up like you could theoretically walk it and it'd be the same speed. And actually I have knee issues for those who do not know. I tore my meniscus in high school and then had to get surgery to get some of it removed. And so because of that, I have bad shock absorption in my legs. And that was one of the things I tried to work on. And that's why I was like, oh, I ran the 5K. I'm good. When you are doing a drudge pace for at probably roughly half of it, if not more.
Yeah.
That goes away. So I was hurting by the end of the race. I had a few days of limping, but, so you like funnel down. Eventually we got into the park. We ran behind the seas, which was really cool because we got to see like some of the tanks.
Yeah.
And, we ended up popping in on the way to the finish line. We ended up running behind Horizons too, which was really cool.
That's cool.
I didn't really get to peek too much. They kept you very, very away from the edges there.
Yeah.
And at that point, if I stopped, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to run again. So it was run right past. but so we, and on the sides of it, pretty much the entire way there'll be random character meet and greets.
Oh.
And usually Disney will pull out some of the, like the deep cuts, where the costumes haven't been updated in a while, so they look a little rough, but fun. Like from Meet the Robinsons, the kid.
Wilbur?
His son.
Oh, the kid with the black hair?
Yeah, he was there. He was one of the character meet and greets.
Did not even know that was an option. One.
I did not know they made that costume either. He like was one of the options at some point. I think it's Little John from Robin Hood.
Yeah,
he was one of them. I'm trying to think. There was Joy and Sadness at one point. There's a couple big ones too. There was a Mickey is it Vanellope or Penelope?
Oh yeah, from Wreck It Ralph.
From Wreck It Ralph.
Yeah, Vanellope, I think.
Yeah, she was one of the character meet and greets. There's a ton of a Chip and Dale, but in the Rescue Rangers from the movie in that outfit. Chip was in like the Indiana Jones outfit, and
sweet.
Dale was in a Hawaiian shirt. So a ton of really cool meet and greets. But we didn't end up doing any of them. Nathan and I were looking for like a deep cut, and we didn't see any we were interested in, and the lines were so long.
Ooh, I bet.
And like I'm talking like 40 plus people waiting in line. And so you would literally go, you'd be running, and then you just offshoot and stand in line for however long you wanted. Wow. So a little bit of a weird go. Not necessarily what we were looking for, but I'm trying to think, other than just like pacing out going the entire step by step. We got to run through World Showcase. The torches were going. The music was going full time.
Okay, so World Showcase was like pretty lit up and it was basically in show mode on the outside.
Yeah. So show mode on the outside. We ended up running behind it a little bit, which was kind of cool.
Oh, cool.
Like we went behind, I think it was England. We went into one of the cast member entrances and then popped back out over France so that we avoided the international gateway.
Oh, yeah.
Issue. Okay. This is what it was. We popped out France to get onto the boardwalk. And then we went around the boardwalk into the international gateway and then continued on the World Showcase.
Okay. That makes sense.
Cool. I think to avoid kind of those bridges and then to add, it adds like another couple miles.
Yeah.
But so we got to run around World Showcase and got some pictures there. It was absolutely gorgeous. We got to run through the boardwalk, which was really cool. The sun was like just starting to rise. We got to the boardwalk, it was so cool. It was so awesome. And then we ended up running through Horizons back through kind of on the outskirts of the World Celebration and back over towards Guardians, then behind Horizons, and pretty much at that point, then we popped out again. We went to like the cast member parking and popped out towards the finish line. Ended up finishing like an hour 50 after it started, about an hour 10 after we started running.
Nice.
And my brother and I finished, and then my parents followed up shortly after.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. It was really cool. I'd recommend it to anybody. Cool. We're going to do it again is the idea.
Okay. Yeah.
We've kind of started talking next year's trip and what we're going to do and when we're going to do it, and it lines up again. And so nice. We're probably going to do the 10 mile next year.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. Gonna go on. My brother is talking about doing the challenge, so I will get his input on that.
Dang.
But yeah, so if it shows I'm not a runner, I don't particularly enjoy running, this might have gotten me into running. And ooh. So that shows how cool okay. it is.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It looks like a lot of fun. And just like as a Disney nerd, to get to be in the parks in a different context and also to see some kind of backstage areas too.
Well, just sounds like there's a lot of people, but it feels empty. Like it is like
right
over there. Yeah. It's really neat.
Well, I'm sure by the time you reach like, you know, mile three, it's kind of spread out enough that you're not shoulder to shoulder anymore.
Yeah, it definitely, once you got into the park, that is where things started to open up a bit because people were stopping more.
Yeah.
And so it was thinning out.
So would they... If someone were to like stop in World Showcase and just like take a picture with, you know, whatever they wanted, that was fine. Like you could do whatever you want. Okay. As long as you were still staying on pace, like you can stop and do whatever you want.
Oh yeah. You could sit. We literally could have sat for 30 minutes and then started running again. Like,
okay. Super cool.
Yeah. That's you can go sit on the benches and stuff like that. It was. Yeah.
So you, which day of your trip, like how far into your trip was the run?
So we got in rest day. So arrival, rest, park. So that was day four if you count our arrival date.
Okay. So you had a couple of park days before the run.
Yeah. Yeah. It was supposed to be like arrival date, rest day, park day, run. Mm-hmm. But it ended up being arrival day, park day for some while everybody else got their bibs. Mm-hmm. And then park day and then run.
And then run. Okay. Yeah. So when you ran past Guardians, had you ridden it yet?
No.
Okay. I'm going to use that as a segue then. If you're good on
run. We can go into Epcot. That's all I can say about the run. Oh, and the metal is metal with a T. Like nice. Solid metal.
Yeah.
It comes with the race along with the shirt. Mm-hmm. And so I expected a plastic medal. Because race was it was like 100 and something for entry.
Okay.
It was expensive, but
expensive
for a race, but not terrible. But then you get to run through Disney Park, and so like I thought that was gonna be the bonus, and then the medal's really cool. It's sitting behind me right there. You can kind of see it up there.
On the top shelf. I do see it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean $100.
That's the Haunted Mansion thing, by the way.
That thing is super cool.
Yeah. They're selling replicas of stuff in Disney parks now.
I'm going to keep an eye out for those because that's awesome. But I mean, like $100 getting a free t-shirt that covers half that cost. So really, you know, it's
actually, you're not off. It is a dry fit one too. So it's like,
okay, so there you go.
Yeah, it's actually a nice t-shirt.
Yeah. That's not that bad. I thought it was going to be higher than that. So that's pretty cool.
It's like 150, 160.
Yeah.
I think if I remember correctly, it's been a little bit since we purchased.
Nice.
But all right, Epcot. So I'm going to talk about, so a lot of Epcot is the same as we left it. Kind of, I will preface, we did not watch Luminous. We tried, mm-hmm. it did not go well. We did not try again. Fireworks are just too much. He doesn't turn two until next month.
Not went and well so, on like on a sensory side, not because the show was awful.
My brother loved the show. My parents loved the show. Nice. It didn't go well sensory wise.
It
was just a lot for him. We gave it the honest effort. He wouldn't wear the earmuffs.
Yeah.
That we tried, and so it was just kind of those. We started watching. He was doing okay, and then a lot of fireworks went off. And he was like, "No, ooh, this thing for me."
It's like I'm out.
I think it was more visual than anything. It was just so much happening.
It's a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
So we didn't try fireworks again, but so we won't be talking about fireworks.
All right.
And I'll kind of keep it to like the big new stuff.
Yeah. Because there were a few new things that have opened since you've been and even since I've gone.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will kind of talk about the big one that floored my entire family the most was World Celebration.
Really?
I will say this. I know a lot of people weren't the biggest fans of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, because that area is amazing.
Remind me, this is the new name for like the center of Future World. Used to be Future World.
The big garden area that they
the new central garden area that kind of recently opened up. Okay.
Yeah. It was what that park has needed for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So like here's a decent example. So we arrive, we need dinner. We decide, you know what, we're going to go turn our passes on, walk in Epcot. We're going to have dinner. We ended up just eating at Connections. So it's nighttime by the time we get in there. We pick up Connections. We're sitting down. There is RGB lights just going off everywhere in time with the show that's going on Spaceship Earth. Whole place is lit up. My son and I are running around playing with the lights in the floor, literally just like how my dad and mom would take me and my brother to go do that exact same thing. As we're just sitting down and eating food off to the side in a crowded theme park, and it feels like we're like the only ones there.
That's perfect.
It is. I don't know how to talk it up more than that. I mean, it's just beautiful, period. The lights are done so well. And in the daytime, it's so luscious, and there's shaded areas and just offshoots that you can just go to. And we did a couple nap times there where he just napped on somebody's lap or in the stroller, and we just went off there because we could get a little bit cooler and just off the beaten path. And it is just crazy how crowded it can be in the park. And then you go into that area and you take an offshoot, and you're the only one sitting there. Like it's just you or like two other people like working on their laptops or doing something. And it was so needed in Epcot for them to have something like this, because the traffic isn't impeded at all. There's no bottlenecking or anything like that. But it's not fully open. And so unless you're going for those seating areas, you're not walking through them.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you're using them, you can get to them, and it's like you're just it's just you.
It's we
like
easy
we to, could like yeah. Grayson run around and do all that stuff and not be impacting anybody. And just on the other side of a hedge wall, there's like 150 people walking towards
all walking by.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like we had our own little section of the park, and that happened like every single time we went, we were able to do that. It was consistent, and we had run Disney, we had a cheer competition going on, like we were crowded.
Yeah,
not crazy, not spring break crowded. We had it was I cannot talk up World Celebration more. I fell in love with that area.
I can't wait to see it.
It seems so perfect.
Cool. Yeah,
it is so cool. And yes, it is a garden, and I understand it took a while to build. But if you take it for what it is the exact same thing Epcot needed. And I will say that I will die on the hill that is World Celebration. That area is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't change anything of it.
That's awesome. No, yeah, I get what you're saying, but like, that's what it needed, because the last time we went, it really feels like there isn't an area that's just dedicated for sitting and doing nothing. Because even inside of like Connections, like you're there because you're eating or something like that. And the views aren't, you can't just enjoy the park. And anywhere else, it's just benches and like maybe a sitting area near a food, something or other. So having that central space to just like be there and enjoy what you're looking at is well needed. And I'm super excited to see it.
I think you will enjoy it. I think you'll enjoy it very much. Warning, it can still get pretty hot, even in the shade.
I had
an unfortunate instance of a little bit of a heat stroke where I almost passed out because we were sitting in the sun, and then suddenly just like, ooh, went bad.
Like, ooh, I'm about to pass out.
Yeah, I went pale, and I got some Gatorade and stuff shoved in me, and we didn't move for a good hour.
Get this man some sugar, stat.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But so that World Celebration, can't talk it up enough. The only other thing I'll say, and this is just a little minor plug, the playground over by Creations on the other side, kind of towards Guardians area.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time there, and it was fantastic. So if you have kids, just bring them there, let them run free, and they'll love it. Great. It was Grayson's favorite thing, was going to that playground.
I bet. Yeah. That makes sense.
And so that's just short little one. They did. It used to be like really weird, and now it's just like a normal playground, like just a good playground. So
just a solid playground.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's all I'll say about World Celebration. We'll do Guardians last. So I'm going to talk about the booth, and then we'll talk about Guardians. So we were there during the spring, the Flower and Garden Festival.
Yep.
Last time we had went for the Festival of the Arts.
Yeah.
The food was good. Mm-hmm. We weren't super impressed.
Yeah.
This time, exact opposite. Ooh, and to be honest, that was food across the board for the park. Yeah. We had one bad meal in 12 days.
That's amazing.
We had a couple times where the food wasn't like with the food booths, that the food wasn't as good as the last time we had it.
Yeah.
Like there was a booth right outside the playground that did scallops and a tomato risotto.
Yeah.
And I had it first time, amazing. Second time, really good, not as good. And I think it was highly dependent on the chef and what they had in stock, and that was kind of like as the week went on, we noticed like some of the food wasn't as good, and then some of the food was better, and it fluctuated.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's just kind of a thing with the fact that they're made to order and it's out of like a food cart essentially.
Yeah.
The consistency isn't, nothing ever was bad. Some things weren't as good. But like the first day we did the food booths, like every single cart was a hit. Like it was fantastic. But so we did that. The food booths were amazing. The food options were great. I did a couple of the vegan ones and they tasted really good.
Did you have a favorite booth for the festival?
The one by the playground, the one that did the scallops, it had a vegan street corn. Where you use like vegan cheese, and it was actually really good. And then they had the scallops dish. I think a very, very close second, the Canada booth was really good as well.
Oh, okay.
Because they had this like braised beef that was fantastic. I'm trying to think of any other. There's one that had lobster that was well cooked.
All right.
Italy was okay. We had the Italy one. It was okay. Italy just pretty much always does pasta.
Yeah.
I wish they would try to do some other stuff.
Not pasta. That makes sense.
Well, it's just because pasta, like usually the sauce is really great, but the pasta is always like slightly off. Like like it's either not cooked enough or cooked too much. Because pasta in mass is typically something that's hard to keep going because it
hard to keep it perfect.
Well, because they need to cook a bunch of it, And so it's going to sit there and it's going to keep cooking. And so it's like, it's either you're going to get it at the beginning where they had to leave it a little al dente, or you're going to get it at the end. And
they've been there for a bit.
The dumplings in China were fantastic. And yeah, because you guys are going while it's still going.
I'm just so making you're notes of, data of where to go. Yeah.
And I will say across the board, the drinks were really good. Disney, I don't know who you know that you get discounts on adult beverages, but you don't have a light hand when you pour. there was a frozen mojito that tasted really good, but had an adjustment period from when you started drinking it to
the effect did not to. Match the taste.
No. It was more you, the first time you took a sip, it was, oh dear God, that's gin and lime.
That is.
And then by the end of it, you were like, okay, that's gin and lime. Like it's,
oh, you're,
I'm good now.
Your taste had to adjust. Yeah.
Yes. It slapped you, as you started with it.
You're very aware of the alcohol present.
Yes. And that was a lot of the drinks that were served.
Interesting.
There.
Good to know.
Yeah, I was not expecting a heavy pour out of those drinks. And
wouldn't either.
They had a good pour. They had a very
good
pour.
Okay, Disney.
All
right.
And so yeah, all the food booths were great. I liked the show that they did on Spaceship Earth. We only got to see it from World Celebration. We didn't see it from the front. But they did a show with the daughter that can make flowers from Encanto. They did her song.
Oh, cool.
And it was extremely colorful and really cool.
Uh-huh.
That's when Grace and I would go chase the lights.
Nice.
And I'm trying to think anything else with flower and garden. No, it was just great. It was great. The topiaries were really cool. I think it's overall, it's Epcot's just a lot more lush, and it's almost kind of like they might have to go bigger with the topiaries because they've added so much greenery to the park that now it's like they don't pop as much.
They just kind of blend in a little more.
Well, it's not even blend in. It's like more like you expect it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like before it was like, oh my God, look at all these topiaries. But now it's like, there's so much greenery and stuff like that. It's like, oh, okay. These nice topiaries now.
And there's the topiaries that are always there. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels less crazy that they're there. So I almost wonder if they need to try and beef them up a little bit or something like that. I'm not sure what they can do with them, but
I'm realizing the last time I saw Epcot was during Flower and Garden. And the next time that I see Epcot, and if it's not during Flower and Garden, I feel like I will be like, where are all of
you'll probably throw you off.
It's so empty here. What's going on?
Yeah, and that definitely could be a portion of it too. Is I have seen Epcot during the Flower and Garden a lot, so
yeah,
so that could be a
used to it.
Yeah,
yeah. Nice. I need to hear about Moana. I need to hear about Journey.
Oh
of Water,
yeah, Moana. Okay,
that's new.
Yes, that's new. It's really fun. It's a really cool walkthrough. Grayson wasn't as into it as we thought he'd be.
Okay.
He just kind of liked walking around, period. And so walking in one area wasn't really of interest to him. And
so we gotta move. Why are we sitting
pretty much
so slow?
and the second time we went through, he played with the water a lot more.
Okay, cool.
The effects are really cool. They were working really well when we walked through it.
Nice
and cool area. Trying to think of anything else. Like it's a lot of water effects and stuff like that. So the area is really well themed. It's all like rocky and feels very internal. Like you're not looking out at a bunch of stuff around you. Like it feels very cloistered. Nice.
Like very intimate.
Can get pretty busy. So that is one thing. Like it's pretty, there's a lot of people, and so it can get a little crowded. It was a lot of fun. I would have loved to do it at night. We just never ended up doing it.
I'm excited to try
the next trip.
We're gonna try and get to it at night as well, because I've seen pictures of how awesome it looks lit up at night, and it seems like a Cars Land type of thing where it's nice during the day, but it really shines at night.
And that's kind of on our bucket list for next year, is to make sure we hit that night. Just hit it more. We didn't hit it as much as we should have, probably.
Yeah, you had a lot to do.
He fell in love with the playground, so it's kind of
his love was calling to him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, no, it was it's a good addition. It's a really good addition. Mm-hmm. I like a walkthrough attraction, and so it never felt like you were like stop and go. Like it worked very
well. Okay.
Everybody was
so it wasn't overly crowded.
No. You could still just a lot of people. Just a lot of people. So you're walking around people and stuff like that. But the water effects worked really well.
Nice. Okay. Elsewhere in Epcot.
I think other, I mean, it's Epcot. It was amazing. Nathan couldn't believe all the things that had changed, but a lot of it was still
the
same.
Yeah.
Food was great. We ate in the La Hacienda.
Oh, in the Mexico Pavilion.
The inside. And the food was fantastic. I had steak fajitas, I think. I can't remember what I had actually, but I remember it was steak. It was good. It had cheese on it. It was really delicious. They've changed their menu since we last went there. Served out in a cast iron. It's like much more like elevated.
Yeah.
Mexican cuisine, where before it was kind of like the normal like Mexican restaurant, like the giant enchilada with a bunch of sauce on it kind of deal.
Yeah.
So that was really good. We ate at Connections a few times, did a lot of the food booths. We did the America Pavilion for lunch one day, and the counter service is actually solid. Like, it is good.
All right.
The brisket sandwich was fantastic. And their mac and cheese is really tasty.
That makes sense.
I'm trying to think of anything else other than we gave Test Track at Swan Song. And
farewell.
She feels rough. She needs a redo. She's not doing great.
Rather ride it and be like, oof, this is rough, than be like, this is perfect. Why are they changing it? Like,
yeah, no, I'm excited to see how that changes. I don't think it will be back by the time we go again.
Probably not.
So probably two trips from now before we see that again. But I will be interested to see what that does to Genie Plus and just the ride distribution in general over there, because it was pretty tight on Test Track. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like we use Genie Plus pretty much every day, and it was hard to get a Genie Plus. I had to prioritize Test Track.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And as far as rides other than Guardians, we didn't ride Remy's this trip. We just didn't get to it. Kind of had to prioritize.
Yeah. You got to make a point to ride that one.
Well, we had a scheduled Lightning Lane, and then it shut down during that time.
We
got one of the experience passes, but then ended up not going and using it. And so it was just kind of a whole thing. We ended up just not getting to it, having to, prioritize. I think we like went back, let Grace and get some rest, that kind of stuff.
But yeah.
We didn't ride that, didn't ride Living the Land, and didn't ride Spaceship Earth. Those were the three that we did not ride.
You didn't live with the land?
We did not live with the land.
Something felt off while you were gone, and now I know why. The land wasn't being lived with. Okay.
I'll be honest, the off one for me is not riding Spaceship Earth, but I did not think that Grace could get through 25 minutes.
That's fair. It's long. That's a long one. Long
ride.
And like, long ride. That's a listening and looking ride. That's not so much a feel it kind of ride That's fair. I mean, you have a good reason for that one.
Yeah. So Guardians.
Yeah.
I hate that it has a song to it.
I know. I do.
Okay. Guardians. So I will preface. We rode Guardians pretty much once we rode it every single time we went to Epcot after that.
That's correct.
So I believe I rode it four times.
Yeah, but
we did virtual queue, and then every time after that we did, no, actually I think we did the individual Lightning Lane every time, because $15, like,
that's wow.
Okay. It's really hard to just not go, I'll pay $15 to just get straight there.
Virtual queue takes a while too. Like depending on what group you get, you'll still end up waiting in line like 50 minutes or so.
By the time we weren't willing. Like that was a no.
It's so worth it to buy the pass. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we rode it that first day we rode it. I actually got it. I think we just bought it for the day that we did the Run Disney race. I wanted to get the virtual queue. Yeah. And I missed it. And so I ended up just buying the passes, I believe. And so we had the Run Disney race. And then afterwards we went on Guardians later on in the day.
As a treat.
That is the most insanely cool roller coaster I have ever been on.
Yeah, it is.
That is. So like we rode Tron 2. Tron was awesome. I rode Tron at night rode Tron during the day. Oh. Also amazing.
Yeah.
Also great. I held off on making my judgment until after I rode Tron at night. Guardians kicks Tron in the teeth so hard. I know some people will not like that, but it is so insanely good.
It's so good.
It is. So we had a really cool experience on multiple different times with Guardians. But the last time we rode Guardians, we actually got to ride in the front. And it doesn't make as much of a difference on other rides because Guardians is so individual.
And like
it turns back around.
And the turning and like yeah.
Well, so like you reverse launch, but then it becomes the front.
Then you flip forward again.
So you're only the back for like a couple minutes.
Yeah.
But it is so well done. It is honestly baffling me. I have trouble describing how impressed I was with it.
Right?
The banking, the use of the turning is one of the smartest things I have ever felt in a theme park attraction, because it is so... They could have gone so crazy with it and done just stupid spins and stuff like that, but they didn't. And it feels so fantastic. You feel like you're banking. You feel like you are making hairpin turns. And when you go around the moon, like you feel yourself being pulled into it. It is just so well done. And it baffles me that building used to be a show about Jeopardy with Ellen DeGeneres and Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Times have changed.
And they used the building so good. That building's huge. It's so much bigger than it should have been.
You get what I'm saying? Like when you see it from the outside and you're like, that's a really big building. You're on the inside and just like the first time you're in there, you're like, this room is big.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, so what's funny is one of those screens is actually the screen from the original attraction. I'm 99% certain. The first that's one wild. You go on where it just curves you.
Yeah.
So that is a scene. That big screen is the final scene of Bill Nye, like
Universe Energy Adventure.
Adventure, whatever. That was the final scene where she answers the Jeopardy question. Is you like turn around and curve onto this and watch Ellen answer the Jeopardy question. Woo. And instead we're watching a celestial try to destroy the Earth from removing it from time.
Time erasure. Oh my
it
God.
Was, it is just so, it's so good. It is so insanely good. I walked out of this. I would pay like $30 to ride that ride. Not even think about it.
Yeah. And it's a no brainer.
No, it's, you have to go. You have to do it. It is so good. It is so smart what they did with that tech. And just being able to like look at it a little bit when we were in the ride queue and stuff like that is so beefy. And on top of that, the fact that it did not close once while we were there.
Yeah.
Like, it is, I don't know who they had designed that, but hats off.
I believe come on, keyboard, wake up. I believe that was Intamin. As the roller coaster manufacturer that did that ride, but I've been waiting almost a year to have this conversation and I've just been grinning the whole time.
Well, yeah, like
Stop saying alcoholics. Stop it.
Thank you for your service.
I am so excited for the day that no one laughs because that joke's been made too often. It literally in that queue, like when you get to that part of the queue, it is like watching rats climb over each other for a slice of moldy pizza, watching people sprint for that joke. Stop it.
It's embarrassing as a human.
It was funny the first time that dude did it and it went viral. It's funny then.
Yeah.
And binge drinkers is funnier than alcoholics, but
still not funny. It
was funny that one time. And now that it's done, I know people laugh. You're better than that.
We're here as ambassadors on a Terran as Terrans in this world. And you're going to talk about,
care about that. It's more, I know that's not your joke.
Yeah, like
you didn't come. I know that's not your joke.
World's most recycled joke here. It's not, everyone's heard it. There are kids here also. Like, let your kids say something funny. Where there was one time we went through and he said, "Does anyone know what they call themselves?" And a kid was like, "People." And everyone laughed
at
that. Like, that's funny. Look, that's good for you.
Well, but it's like the moment something goes viral on the internet, that's that thing. It's not a meme. It's not it's not a TikTok dance. It's this one thing. The dude made the joke. I'll give him. It's funny.
Like, good job. You thought of that? An original joke?
Great. Original joke. You did awesome. That's a good response. And no one can do it again because I think you saw the video. That's what happened. You saw the video. Mm-hmm. Stop making the joke. I am so excited for the day that so many people have heard that joke that somebody makes it and nobody laughs.
Yeah, same.
And I am going to eat that silence for breakfast.
It's going to be wonderful.
I'm going to distill it into a fine wine. Like, it's going to be great.
Oh my gosh.
But aside from that, the queue's gorgeous. That the scene where the walls come up.
So you had walls come up. You got to see the wall effect.
No, you didn't get to see the wall effect?
Well, no, we had it for two times we wrote it. And the rest, when you walked into the room, the walls were already up.
Every time. So we had one time where it took a long time for the walls to come up.
He was really stalling and just kind of cooking.
Like, it just kind of kept going.
Yeah.
For an extra, 30 seconds. And so everyone was just kind of, looking around, when is it? And then suddenly the walls, I think somebody was touching them.
They weren't in all the way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I did not expect that. That was so unexpected.
It's a really cool effect.
It's super stellar job. It's just good. It's so all did, good. Do
did
more.
Did you do virtual queue at all?
No, I think we ended up just doing Lightning Lane.
Okay. So you never
couple times. So no, we did not see the whole queue. I think it ended up working for the best just because...
Oh, yeah, because you got to ride the ride sooner.
We got to ride the ride sooner, and time is definitely of the essence when we leave Grayson with Mom and Dad. They took him into the test track area so that he got to touch a Corvette, much to the chagrin of the person that had to keep following him around, wiping his fingerprints off of it. There's a cast member that Grayson introduced to his own personal hell. So
he said, "Hello, I am about to ruin your day. I am going to touch the heck out of that car.
Yep.
Excuse me, good sir."
And he went multiple days and did that every time.
He's like, "You saved my spot for me. I'm back. Thank you. Get your rag wet. Here I go." Nice. Awesome. It's just like Molly and I were talking about Cosmic Rewind the other day, because it is really hard to describe why it's so enjoyable. But it's just like, it feels like if you're having a dream about flying and you're bouncing from side to side while flying, that's what it would feel like, is the way the cars turn when you're banking turns, or on some where you're heading down into a helix and you're facing up and out of the turn. So you're kind of backwards turning into the, it's so weird to try and describe, but they all just, it just feels right. And it's so thrilling, but never painful, never bone rattling. It's really smooth, but it's just the whole we've talked about this before, like a thrill ride you gets its thrills from acceleration, not from speed, like from changing the direction that you're moving. And they use that so well to like turn you at the right moments and to, you know, you don't have to rely solely on a launch just being fast.
Yeah. It's just it is good stuff. It is so well done, and not just because it's fast. Like, I think that's the best. Yeah. That's the best way to do it. It's like, it is thrilling, and the speed has maybe half to do with it. Like,
yeah,
it's fast, which is good, but it wouldn't be as thrilling if it didn't have everything else. And it is the peak of roller coasters that they have done so far.
I agree. Also, a correction. It's not, the company is Vekoma that made the ride, Vekoma. Not Intamin, okay. In case any roller coaster nerds are listening or screaming for some reason. What was my last question? What was your favorite song that you got when you wrote it?
So we got September twice, and it was good. Like, that is, so we got the second time, and when we wrote it the last time, I literally sat around and was like, kind of wish we had gotten September for the last one. Because it's just such a good, it hits so well with the ride. It's and then we got so September good. Again, so it was perfect. And so far, September was the best.
I think we got that on our very first ride, and same. Like, that's probably my favorite. That or Conga are just my favorites to get on that. It's just fun. It's
and
just
riding in the fun. Front is really cool.
I think we're going to ask really for the cool. front.
I would recommend it. You just see no way in front of you. It makes it really cool. We got to ride in the front for Guardians and Tron without asking.
That's great. Tron, front row Tron is wild.
It was during the day, so it wasn't peak optimization, but my eyes hurt on Tron because like literally
your
just
eyes.
Like, whipping back my eyelids. And
when your face is the thing breaking the airflow for the entire train.
Makes difference.
It makes a difference. You are the hood of the car at that point.
Yep.
Well, we'll have to save that discussion for a future episode based on how much of our logistics talk makes it into the final cut of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's what's going to happen in case it doesn't make it into the final. What we're going to do is next week, it's going to just be me. I'm going to finish up the trip recap. We're going to talk about Magic, Animal, and Hollywood. And then I'm going to talk about the Patreon, because hopefully that will be dropped by next week. Noah is going to be in Disney World at the time, and then he will get back and the following Friday. And we did actually count our days correctly this time, not like when we were on my trip and we said I was going to be back the following Friday. following Friday will be Noah's trip recap, and we'll probably just by sheer closeness of the trips, we'll probably talk a little bit about mine too, just like talking about this.
I'll want to keep talking about your experience for sure, so we'll talk a little more about that, and then we'll just see how many episodes recapping trips takes us into at that point.
We had something planned for episode 100, and I'm realizing now, we're on 92. I think we'll be good. This is 93, so I think we'll be good still with our plan, so it'll still hit 100. Might have to take a little break from trip stuff and swap.
Yeah, and who this one? We can keep this in or not. This one is about 90 minutes at this point, so we either drop one 90-minute episode or we find a way to cut this one into two. If we,
I would say just drop a 90, and then
there wasn't really a natural break at any point.
No, we didn't do anything to do that. So. Yeah.
Nice. Super cool to hear about Run Disney, because I've got zero experience with hearing about that or viewing it.
Probably should just let that be its own episode, but it was really cool. I highly recommend doing it.
It sounded really cool. And for anyone wondering, all of the runs that are posted currently are already sold out. So you're going to have to wait for the next ones to drop.
I think that goes all the way through to the marathon.
Yeah, January of next year. That one.
But that means the princess and the springtime surprise, which is one we ran in, will be coming up soon. So if you are interested in doing those and you have a trip during those times, the dates are already announced. So
nice.
Keep an eye out, and I'll probably start posting things when they start selling tickets.
Sweet, excellent. All right. Well, that kind of wraps this one up. The next time you hear from us, it'll be Alex's solo recap. And then after that, we'll be continuing to regale you with the tales of what two Disney nerds see and experience when in the motherland.
Don't call it the motherland.
The fatherland, sorry. Walter's fatherland.
No, yeah, I guess so. I guess technically.
Yeah.
Still feels not great.
Yeah, you're right. Just back to Disney. We'll just keep it at that.
We're back home.
Yeah, and on that note, thank you all so much for tuning in and listening to part one of however many of our trip recaps. This is honestly our favorite thing to do is to experience the parks and then talk about our experiences. Like, that is just at the core what we love doing and why we're doing it. So get ready for a lot of chaotic and high energy conversations coming up in the next few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But we appreciate you guys sticking with the ramblings. And we just appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Yeah. And until next time, have a magical day.
Magical day. Have a magical week.